The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this music works, and of course, it's going to be part of Jason's new show, the ESPN Jason Kelce. What's the name of it again, Jason?
The name is They Call It Late Night, which is an ode to the first NFL films airing ever, in which they called it Pro Football.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Try to use your platform to get Fassenden in the Hall of Fame, because he just fell short again.
Did he?
James, remember we talked about a month ago?
Yeah, we did.
Was a semifinalist or quarterfinalist, whatever it was, and he didn't get the nod.
That blows your mind.
Well, you know who got the nod, and this guy probably deserves it too. So there was like this random category.
Reese got the nod.
Yeah, but they had, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
he definitely deserved it.
They have like a contributions category, whatever it's called.
Yes.
And the guy that, like,
the
guy that back in 1921 or something that organized the people to say, let's have the NFL. Like, that guy finally got the nod.
So he should probably be in.
How is that guy not in immediately?
I don't know.
It's like, all right, let's start the Hall of Fame. Put that guy in.
Should we put the guy that originated all this in here? No.
Right. It was a meeting. It was a meeting in Canton, Ohio. And that guy's like, let's meet in Canton, Ohio. And that's why the Pro Football Hall of Fame is Canton, Ohio. Where you will be in...
Oh, come on.
5 years, Jason. Five years.
Right. Ohio's going to shut down when that happens.
Oh. I didn't think about the Ohio angle.
Wow.
That's cool. That's really neat, actually.
All right, so tonight, WIP, we are carrying the, and what a big and important game it is, Packers-Lions game. So just know this. Important for the Eagles to get the one seed that Green Bay wins the game. If Detroit wins out, Detroit, of course, is the one seed because they've only lost one time this year. If Detroit loses one game the rest of the year, Detroit will still be the one seed unless this is the game they lose.
Pretty important.
Very important. So this is, you got strength of schedule. The Eagles beat the Packers. It's like there's a whole formula thing to it. Without describing it all, just know it's important for the Eagles tonight that the Packers win. Let's listen to Jaws. He joined us earlier this week. We talked to him about this game. Again, we're going to broadcast it tonight here on WIP. Green Bay and Detroit, big implications for the Eagles. We asked Jaws who's going to win. Jaws, Detroit and Green Bay on Thursday. It's a big game for the implications for the one seed. Who do you think wins that game?
Green Bay. I think Green Bay, in fact, watching the game on the games this past weekend, I think clearly Green Bay now is passed by Detroit because of the injuries Detroit has suffered. Green Bay is playing at a very high level right now on both sides of football.
So, Jason, you follow this whole thing, obviously. I mean, you're covering it all for ESPN. Yeah. Is Detroit, while their record's not limping, are they starting to limp a little bit with the subtraction of big players, particularly on defense?
Yeah, the defense, they have definitely faltered a little bit the last couple weeks, but I still think they have a physicality as an offense that, you know, when they are able to control the line of scrimmage, it makes it really, really difficult to play football against a team like that. They play with a mindset. I think Dan Campbell is a phenomenal head coach. I'm not willing to say Green Bay's passed them. We'll see tonight. I mean, Green Bay is playing much better right now than when we played them earlier in the year and where they were at earlier in the year. So it should be a really, really fun game. I think their defense has definitely faltered. And I think Aiden Hutchinson is part of that, but also Alex Anzalone, who's really, really, we just talked about linebacker play, and like a guy that like sets the stage, has been in that system for a long time now, that's a big miss. So, you know, I think I don't know who wins it. I really don't. I think I could see you know, Detroit being Detroit and just like out physicaling and like controlling a line of scrimmage and shutting the run down. And I think a lot of that stuff that, you know, these Shanahan disciples and things that they like to do is all predicated on that run game working. And then all the other stuff kind of goes off of that. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what else to say than that. Yeah.
It's a big one. It really is. All right, let's get some calls in. Mike right now in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great. How are
Jason,
you?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Where's Douglasville?
Douglasville is like an hour, west of Philly. If you take 76 on the 422 and then just keep riding 422 until you hit a red light, you'll be in Douglasville.
it was founded by a guy named Douglas, I'm assuming?
Honestly, I have no idea.
All right.
But, I mean, whatever. It's a small town.
All right, cool.
I like it. Cool. But so yesterday, I tried to get through yesterday, but I wasn't able to wait as long as I wanted to. A lot of the topic was with, like, Jalen Hurts and, you know, could he be the guy to, like, you know, throw us to victory or whatever?
Yeah. And I'm glad you're bringing this up. Go ahead.
My thing wasn't necessarily, like, I don't necessarily question Jalen Hurts because I've seen him do amazing things. My question is, and it kind of ties into today's topic of, is the 22 team better than the 24 team? I think in 22, granted, I love our offensive line. I think we are the best run-blocking offensive line in the league, and I don't think it can be questioned. I question our pass blocking. I've seen a lot of times, obviously, Hurts rolls out of the pocket, whether it's too early or you know, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's almost out of necessity because he has a free block or a free guy come straight at him. And whether that's,
sometimes,
you know,
defenses do a good job.
All right, Mike, we're going to get Jason on that. Give me an answer here for the, in honor of Dickerson and the goggles, someone known and identified with one certain feature.
So I actually can't go to Kevin Hart, so I'm going to come up with more of a funny one, I hope. I honestly don't even know this guy's name, because he's so known for being a carrot top, but carrot top.
And yeah, there you go. Yeah. I met him. He's a weird guy. All right, very weird guy.
That is the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
Dude, and the chances of not being under, I'm just going to move on.
For legal
purposes.
I would think the two of you together.
Oh, buddy.
That was unbelievable.
I would think the two of you together, it's almost like weird plus weird. It's almost like it neutralizes.
Like two negatives equal to positive.
Make a positive.
It was the whole thing.
Like you and Carrot Top in the same room. When it becomes color in The Wizard of Oz, everything's normal.
Well, here's where
plus
it got.
Both big bodybuilder guys.
James,
you know?
James, you might even remember this, James. This got really weird. So I was working elsewhere at the time. James, you were as well.
Uh-huh.
Halftime in an Eagles game, I was moving from suite to suite. So just because I had some friends were bouncing around, I'm like, all right, sure, I'll go with you. I don't care. And I go into a suite. It happens to be the WIP suite.
Really?
I didn't know it was the WIP suite.
No.
A photograph gets taken of me, Carrot Top,
and
four
women. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And then this gets posted on social media, and where I work, they're all like, Joe, you're in the WIP suite. I'm like, yeah, I found out like 20 seconds later, and I did leave pretty quickly.
Wow.
I honestly did.
Betrayal.
And I did not know that the photograph was going to get posted.
Deceiver.
And then it was like a whole thing. I'm like, what did I do?
Benedict Arnold over here.
All I did was go to an Eagles game.
You doubled down on your fandom of Carrot Top. That's why you're not.
That's a great point. You'd be like, I couldn't help it. He's my favorite.
It was a controversy.
Carrot Top was very cool, by the way. I talked to him for a while when he was at that game.
Oh.
I enjoyed talking to him.
I had a vastly different experience.
No, I did not. Maybe it's you.
All right, Jason, 2022 Eagles, 2024 Eagles. By the way, it's our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, Harry Red Tag, bonus cast ends soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, so the first poll question, Saquon, does he break Dickerson's record? Dickerson joins us in an hour. Will he break that record, yes or no? By the way, cool reality, if you haven't figured it out yet, final two Eagles games this year, both at home. So if Saquon breaks the record, he's breaking that record in front of the Link crowd. Matter of fact, let's listen to when Dickerson broke the record. because I want you to hear the crowd. Now, this is not, I don't think maybe the TV fully picked up on it, but you'll hear a surge when he gets the record. And this is the kind of moment we want to have coming up in a month at the link.
Now, Vince Newsom is making it possible for Eric Dickerson to come back with 3:30 to go. And the fans are going crazy. They want to see the record, and they want to see it right now. He needs 6 yards, everybody, for a National Football League single season rushing record.
There's the moment. And that's the moment. Announcer lays out, but you hear the surge. I mean, Ben, how cool would that be to have in 1 month at Lincoln Financial Field, man?
It would be phenomenal.
Right?
It would be phenomenal. I just... It's a very daunting task.
It is.
And again, with the schedule, I don't know if they're going to need him.
They might not. They might not. Look, so the last two games, home Dallas, home Giants. And here's what's interesting. Eagles-Giants, you would never think would be a flex game because, like, Giants. But if he's going for that record and the NFL gets the nod that the Eagles are going to play him for those 75 yards, 25 yards, 130
it's
yards.
Also the Saquon Giants thing. Like, what are the odds that it would be the Giants?
Yeah,
like,
he could break it against the Giants at the link, Jason. Think what? About that.
Yeah, what is...
Holy mackerel!
I think there's a very real chance that that game is going to be played and that he's going to play.
That it matters? Well, hold on. So two different things.
Especially if Detroit loses tonight or loses one game. And even if they don't lose... There's still going to be the thought in the Eagles' mind of, like, if Detroit is trying to rest some starters that last game and they can, like...
Yeah.
But Jason, if you have the one seed locked up, which the Eagles may...
Well, if they have the one seed locked up, then it's a no-brainer.
To what? To not play him?
To not play him, of course. You're going to have the bye
what if he's
that.
What if he's 52 yards away?
Well... Yeah, I mean, if he's close, then you probably play him to get the record, I would assume. I mean, we did the same thing with me. I had a consecutive start there when I played one snap.
One play. I remember that.
I remember that,
very
too.
Very ceremonial snap.
But it also gets complicated because then if he plays, does Landon Dickerson have to play? I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't have to, but do you need your line?
I would think that offensive line, those guys would want to be out there.
It's just
like you wouldn't be able to keep them off the field for
but
that.
But remember this.
And you have to protect them from themselves to some degree.
But there's also a game last year that didn't matter. A.J. Brown got hurt in the first quarter, couldn't play in the playoff game.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
Really bad.
That made it really easy for Todd to tee off on us.
Right.
It was not fun.
Anyway, it's going to be fast. Like, in 3 or 4 weeks, we might be as a...
I think the game's going to be meaningful. I think this is a big week for Saquon if he has a big game against the Panthers, which the Panthers are playing really well, but I think with the way the Eagles are running the ball right now, if he has a big game this week... It could set the stage for something really magical to happen.
Pretty wild. All right, 2022 Eagles, this squad. So,
yeah,
I don't know if it's uncomfortable for you because it's like when it's like you asked Dickerson, is he really going to say, heck no, I don't want him to break the record? Like, I think your 2022 is still better. It's close. Saquon is obviously a massive difference maker. Here's the way I framed it earlier in the show. This is how I feel. And I would guess most people would say this, but maybe not. At this stage of 2022, I was more confident in that team winning the Super Bowl than this team.
Interesting.
Now, that team did not win the Super Bowl, so you can say, well, Joe, you were wrong, and I was, but...
We got really close.
Can't get much closer, to be honest.
You can't get much closer.
Close it was.
Yeah. So what do you think, Jason? That squad versus this squad?
Well, I guess I'll just go by... So offensively, a lot of the pieces are very, very similar. Now they have Saquon. That's obviously an upgrade over, you know, not that we had bad backs, but... I think Saquon's proven to be a pretty incredible player. Offensive lines, I think, are pretty comparable. I think, you know, this line is better in some ways, and the other line was a little bit more experienced. I think the receiver position is virtually the same. Tight end is the same. The quarterback is the same. I think we were a little bit more, I guess, ahead of where the NFL was going that year, just offensively in general. Like Shane Steichen and kind of the things we were doing were a little bit more innovative in that year, not to say that Kellen Moore's not. And I think that led to some more blowout victories from an off. Like we had a lot of like high scoring games in that regular season that I don't know right now. It feels like we're winning a lot of games, but we're winning more with, you know, having a dominant run game and some big plays, but there are a lot of more close than I think what I recall from 2022.
I mean, you guys rampaged.
Yeah. By the way, that's what I seem to recall, but I don't know if I'm remembering that properly.
No, trust me. We saw it. Up until halftime of the Super Bowl, you rampaged the whole season. You were the one seed the whole way.
But
Jalen missed two or three games, and that hurt at the end. But, like, you had the one seed the whole time. You crushed the Giants. You crushed the 49ers. You were kind of crushing the Chiefs. I mean, up until 30 minutes to go in the season, you were a freaking freight train.
Yeah. So, but now I'll go to the defense. I think defensively, I think the defensive line was better in 22, and I don't know that I have much of a question about that. As good as Jalen Carter is, I think if you look at Javon, Fletcher Cox, younger Brandon Graham, who's healthy.
Reddick.
I mean, that defensive line were monsters. Linebacker, T.J. Edwards had a phenomenal year. He was a guy that never really got a lot of credit, but was a really good linebacker for us, as well as Kaiser White. But I'll give the nod this year. I think Zach Bond's having just an insanely good year. And then defensive backs, I'd probably give the nod to this year. I think that those young guys have played phenomenal up until this point.
Even though Slay and Bradbury were both at the top of their game?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you – well, Slay is still on the team.
But he's not as good.
I would probably, you know, I think Quinyon is playing at a very high level. I think the nickel position is probably the one that's a huge position now in the NFL because so many teams are in 11 personnel quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Cooper DeJean might be the best nickel in the NFL right now.
It's crazy to say that, man. That is wild.
It is wild.
Not that I'm in the position to maybe judge nickels, but he's playing really, really well. And then the safeties, Reed Blankenship, CJ, like, it's a very good backfield. So, and then I think when you look at that, you then go to Jonathan Gannon versus Vic Fangio. I think JG was doing a lot of things that were creative and innovative too, where I think it's a little bit different is it feels like Vic has a little bit of a beat on that, but also has this old school mentality that I certainly appreciate. I think they both are great coaches, but I'd probably give the nod to this defense at this point with the way they're playing currently. We'll see if that holds up.
This defense and that offense, right? Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
2022 Eagles offense, 2024 Eagles.
I think that's fair.
To say who's better, I want to wait to make that statement until the end of this. To be honest. I mean, I know that's a cop-out. I think that either one of those teams could beat the other one at varying points.
Could go either way.
It would have been a very good matchup.
Yeah. So let's do one more thing, Jason. Caller about 15 minutes ago referenced Jalen, and your reaction was interesting. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, one of the reasons I say this 2022 over this year's, and you guys know I give Jalen, as he deserves, credit for improvement in the last month or so. He's not turning it over. He's running more effectively. But I don't think he's as good as he was 2 years ago. I think defenses have probably made some adjustments, not just to him, but that style of quarterback, which is about half the quarterbacks in pro football, so it's two more years of coordinators getting a chance to figure out how to try to combat it. So the Jalen thing.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to any part of it?
I think obviously it felt like in 22 he was playing better. I think that there are multiple reasons for that. I think he's playing well this year, and he was playing well in 22. I think that 22 we were doing just, like you said, some things that defenses hadn't necessarily caught on, and we were combining that with really good players, which led to some really high-powered offenses, as well as Shane Steichen being a phenomenal play caller. This year, I think obviously last year's end was really upsetting, but I think this year Jalen is really rebounded well from that. I think that the team is more cohesive and has a better identity for who they are, and they're using that. I think if you look at this past game, the reason they had success with Saquon, a lot of that was because of Jalen Hurts, and I don't think people really realize that fully. A lot of those runs that got them going in the second quarter and going in the fourth quarter, the two big drives in both of those were started with this quarterback offensive counter read play. He had a big run on both of those. And then you see these linebackers, they get really – so when you're dealing with a zone read, with the end – and the backer and the end need to be on the same page. Who's taking the running back and who's taking the quarterback? But the linebacker's key is the offensive line. If somebody pulls, he's supposed to make the gaps right on the other side of the where that guy's pulling to. So you got to run with the puller. That drive where Saquon had the big run, the linebackers don't know how to fit it. And a lot of that started because they ran a split zone play with a tight end falling back, and the linebacker misfit that one. Then they ran the quarterback OT counter play where the linebacker was trying to do the linebacker and the end weren't on the same page with the read in the back and what was happening in the backfield, and nobody was over there on the right to defend the quarterback run. And then they run a tackle pull without a read, and the backer is running it like it's a read play. So all of these things, combined with the RPOs and the slants that A.J. Brown caught and the touchdown that Dallas Goedert caught, a lot of that operates because of the tool set that Jalen Hurts has. And that's why we won the Baltimore game. Like, not only was Saquon great and the offensive line blocked well, they were not on the same page as the defense, and they couldn't be right, and they weren't right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that he never really gets a lot of credit for. And I understand that because people want to see him mm-hmm. as the pure pocket passer that has dominated the NFL over the course of its existence. But that is the reason we won the Baltimore game.
Wow.
All of that
that's
stuff.
That's great stuff.
So, and if you're a defense, this is where the predicament is. If you want to play man coverage, good luck. I mean, Jalen Hurts, and this is, we'll see what happens. I want to see the Detroit Eagles matchup because Detroit loves to play man coverage. Jalen Hurts throughout his entire career, has been great against man coverage. And part of that is like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, but also when you scramble in man coverage and everybody's backs are tuned to you. So I think if you want to play man coverage, I think Jalen is going to have a really good day. If you want to play two high safeties, I think Saquon's going to have a really good day. And if you want to play zone coverage, we're going to do these RPOs and things that take advantage of your rules and your assignments, and it's going to be difficult. So I think the Eagles are in a really good spot offensively. They're not as, you know, innovative in like taking the world by storm just structurally, but I think they more importantly know who they are and know how to defeat whatever a defense wants to give them. Hmm. They're much better against the blitz, Jalen in particular. So I feel really good about where he's at.
Great, well, man. I hope that you take that.
I am
to
taking
heart,
it,
Joe.
Yeah.
Like, really, it does matter the way that defenses have to account for Jalen. And we and Nick told us, I think it was last week, how differently the looks every week, the looks that this offense gets from defenses mm-hmm. are completely unexpected because they're just trying to throw the kitchen sink out there to try to neutralize Jalen any way they can.
Yep.
They really have no way of knowing what to make of the first 15 from the whatever that defense is going to put out their perspective.
Yeah, that's what that and. Since Jalen's been the quarterback, and I mean, that's something that every offense is going to struggle with. When you are a good offense and you present problems for the defense, they're going to try creative things that to throw you off your game. And that's difficult to have a first 15 for when you don't know what's going to come.
Yeah.
Very difficult. But I think, you know, these RPOs and things, I know sometimes when they're not working, they're very frustrating to watch.
It seemed like more of them came to fruition against the Ravens for some reason. Like, why was that?
I think that they have struggled all season in pass coverage and in responsibilities, especially over the middle of the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been something they have not handled well. Mm-hmm. And I think if you watch that drive, I still look at the linebackers and where they're fitting. I'm like, this is not gap sound like defense. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think that is presented because of all these other things that, you know, 1 second it's a read play with the end. The next second they're reading you in the zone. The next second it's just a straight handoff with Jordan Mulata, 375 pounds, pulling through a B gap. So it presents difficulties, and to do that well, it's not just coaching. The players, it's very hard to, you know, I can't imagine as a linebacker trying to do that.
Hey, Jason, we love having you on the program. Thanks, bud. Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Great stuff.
Thank
there you. He is, Jason Kelce, every Thursday with this 7:30 to, well, it's supposed to be 8:30, but we kind of
monopolize his time a little bit.
We get a little bit on a run sometimes. It's hard to slow the train down. We appreciate it, Jason. All right.